And why didn't you give him the candlesticks as well? Valjean was astonished that the bishop would do such a thing. He deserved to be punished, but instead found comfort through the act of the bishop. Second, the meaning of marvelous is miraculous and supernatural. What Jesus did on the cross was marvelous. He took our sin. It completely overwhelmed him. Yet he did it all the same to break the curse of sin over our own lives. He gave us the opportunity to be forgiven. Every one of us needs, whether we recognize it or not, the opportunity to be forgiven. From the moment we wake up, the first moment that we're born, we know how to do wrong. Am I right? Thirdly, marvelous refers to the highest quality. There can't be a higher quality than what Jesus did on the cross for us. His death was of the highest possible quality. It was for our ongoing freedom. And just like the bishop said to Valjean, change your ways. Our relationship with Jesus ensures that we have a walk that walks the life that God would have us to live with purpose rather than a life that leads to destruction. And so this morning, the comfort of the cross. One of the phrases Jesus used whilst on the cross was, I am thirsty. John 19:28. This is more than a desperate and agonizing cry of suffering. We hear a man on a cross close to death, suffering from numerous injuries and loss of blood, expressing his need for a drink, and it only becomes worse when they hand him up a hyssop plant covered in vinegar. It is a painful, poignant, and utterly human request. And the truth is that in Jesus, God has suffered with human beings and nowhere more than here at the cross. If we understand and believe the Easter story, however much we may suffer, we can never ever point the finger at God and say, you really don't know what I'm going through, or you really don't know, because Jesus knows. That's what makes the cross so powerful. And in Christ, God is acquainted with human pain at its most extreme. The creator of heaven and earth, who only needed to speak one word to create the oceans, also knew what it was to suffer thirst. In Christ, God has undergone the worst that anyone can undergo. At one time or another, most people find themselves in a place that is deeper, darker, and more terrible than they thought possible. And at such times, the thought that God has been there can be an enormous comfort. My own father died over 20 years ago, and he happened to have his last days at home with us. He didn't want to stay at hospital, so on Mum's request, he came home. He was dying of an agonizing death, actually, of cancer, filled with drugs. But in his last hours, you know, I can tell you that that room where he was laying was filled with the presence of God. My brother and I, who were there, and my wife, we'd only just been married not long time back then, I can tell you that he actually said, I can sense Jesus coming for me. The There is something magnificent about the comfort of the cross and the life that Jesus has given you and me. So that no matter how extreme things seem or how unfair, my dad was in his 50s. He still had hope for the future. He knew that Jesus was real. Jesus did it for you and me. So our comfort is in knowing Him. I'm grateful that my Father knew the Lord Jesus. It takes all the pain and anguish out of what is happening. It is marvelous knowing that even in the worst circumstances, we can have hope. Second, the forgiveness of the cross. It is marvelous knowing that Jesus did the greatest miracle of all by taking our sin on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing, Jesus said. Three of the gospel writers record that Jesus hung on the cross from noon till 3 p.m. and unexplained darkness fell upon the earth. It is a darkness that echoes what Christ experienced, a death somehow worse than death. And what is marvelous about Jesus on the cross at this point of time is his amazing ability to pray for bad people at a bad time. We have enough trouble, don't we, praying for good people in a good time. And yet Jesus is able to pray for bad people at a terrible time in his life. He was obeying his own words. He was living out the truth of what he'd spoken himself. Because was it not himself that said, love your enemies? Do good to those who hate you? What an example he gave on the cross. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who ill-treat you. Jesus is that extraordinary rarity in human history. A moral teacher who lives out what he says. The content of his prayer is remarkable. Jesus is pleading with his Father to forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Jesus puts forward that these were extenuating circumstances, if it were a legal court. A fact that his prosecution didn't fully realize. And still he has the power within his heart to say they don't know what they're doing. They were indeed mocking and torturing, but they did not realize that it was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. We have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. Wow. Father, forgive them. We have someone that when I don't know, but I seem to do things wrong more than I'd like to. But we have someone who talks on behalf, who goes to the Father on our behalf. He says, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. He's going to be all right. Just like the bishop gave Valjean a second chance, knowing how wrong he was. Jesus, the righteous one, asks his heavenly Father to forgive people and offers every excuse for them. He never stops. What a love Jesus gave. That's what we all need. Even the best of us. A God who, in Jesus, is on our side and who speaks on our behalf. It is marvelous that we can be forgiven. No matter how little or how much we've done, knowingly or unknowingly, Jesus has taken it on the cross. Thirdly, freedom on the cross. I tell you the truth, he said to the prisoner on his whatever side it was. Today you will be with me in paradise. It is a universal feature of human societies that there are hierarchies. There are always those at the top who, by heredity, brutality, or just skillfully playing the system, are successors. And at the bottom, way below, those who have failed. And one of the many humiliations poured out on Jesus at the cross is that he's crucified with two failures. Criminals who have committed the serious offense of rebelling against Roman rule, one either side of him. And it's presumably a calculated insult on the part of the authorities to say what they think of someone who claims to be a king. The crowd around the cross is contemptuous of Jesus, mocking it, jeering at him. And as they do this, one of the criminals joins in. But the other criminal rebukes him and says, "We deserve to be here. This man has done nothing wrong." And then in an extraordinary statement, he says, the criminal says, "Jesus, remember me when you go into your kingdom." There was a powerful transaction happening at the cross through he knew that this was no man, this was God himself. Christianity is typical of turning things upside down. The first person to acknowledge that the cross was a triumph rather than a disaster was the man at the bottom of society. And so Jesus makes this wonderful promise, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." There is authority in this statement. The truth, Jesus says, you can rely on it because I said it. Jesus is in the business of turning things around. There were 10 lepers just before Jesus went to the crucifixion. When they heard that Jesus was coming, they were standing at a distance. They called out. They cried out, actually. They said, "Can you touch us? Can you touch us?" Jesus did something quite unusual. Well, I thought it was unusual. You can read the story for yourself another time. But that in being unusual, he didn't actually go and pray for them. He just said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." Because they were outcasts, they had to stand away from everyone else. So they go, "Well, we could do that. What have we got to lose? We're dying anyway." As they began to walk, they were healed. Interestingly, it only talks about one person coming back to Jesus and thanking him. One of the 10 lepers. And I think this is crucial. Because Jesus didn't do it for nothing. He's given us new life. He's given us a relationship with him. And this leper came back and acknowledged Jesus. And Jesus said to the leper, "Your faith has saved you. Your faith." God doesn't want us just to realize that he's a good God. He wants us to recognize that we have relationship and that we do life with him. At the cross, Jesus becomes the ultimate victim, taking suffering in the place of people. And yet, although he loses almost everything on the cross, one thing he retains is his authority. The truth is, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me." And the word paradise is fascinating. In the Greek, the word paradise actually means the Garden of Eden before the fall. Wow! It's an amazing place. It's a place of entire freedom. It's a place of that we don't actually understand. But we're going to all have the opportunity to be there through our relationship like the leper had, who said, yeah, I understand, boy, what you've done for me. All the hope you need is in Jesus. If a criminal on a cross can offer up the thinnest of confessions, and Jesus accepts and offers him salvation, any one of us can have the same freedom. This morning, Shane, if you'd like to come, why don't we just bow our heads? Perhaps close our eyes for a moment. Jesus says, I'm thirsty. You know, Jesus understands. Whatever your situation, however hard it may be, whatever's happening, he's been there. And that in itself brings comfort to every one of us. He's given us forgiveness. Father, forgive them. Jesus is always the God of the second chance. He never gives up on humankind, ever. So you don't need to be sitting there thinking, you know what, I've done this and I've done that. It doesn't matter. It simply doesn't matter. God understands. God cares. And that's why he was prepared to die on the cross anyway, to give you and I another go, a chance of life beyond life, a chance of a relationship with him which leads to freedom. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. There is no one that can't receive the life, the new life of Christ. Why don't we just stand to our feet for a moment? Bow our heads, keep standing. Maybe today you're not right with God. Will you offer? You know, he's our comfort, he's our forgiveness, he's our freedom. God's done it all through sending his Son. God demonstrates his love for us, the Bible says. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Will you receive his life today? Maybe you knew God, you had a relationship with him some time ago, but you've allowed yourself to fall just back into doing your own thing. You're really not allowing God to lead your life. Will you allow this morning God to lead you? Will you just simply allow yourself to say, you know what, God, I can't do this life on my own. Come into my heart. Like that Lamez clip, you too can be astonished at the love of God. Because truly, at the end of the day, God is love. It's his love. It's his forgiveness that's shown on the cross, particularly on this day that we recognize as Good Friday. That makes everything worthwhile as we remember what he has done for you and I. So if you've never received Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, or today, you need to come back to him and recommit your life to him. I'd love to pray with you. In a moment, on the count of three, I'd ask you to pop up your hand and I'll see it and you can pop it down again. His comfort, his forgiveness, and his freedom comes through a life with Christ. Jesus died on the cross so that we can be with him. Why don't we pray this prayer together this morning? Every one of us. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for your love. I thank you that you died for me on the cross. Forgive me. I turn around this morning. It doesn't matter about my past. It doesn't matter about what I have done. It's taken on the cross for me. I give my life to you, Jesus, today. Come into my heart. I receive you. Take leadership from this day forward. In your precious name. Thank you, Lord, for the freedom. I can be with you in paradise. In Jesus' name. Amen.